doors are open. STL Golf Geek on Twitter, also known as Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, are here with all the news and our views of what's going on in the world of golf. And boy, do we have a full plate, so let me not waste any time bringing my partner here, Jay the Man Randolph. Jay, a lot on our plate.
No doubt. We got the Mexico event. We got the Valspar Championship, the LPGA, the big rules changes, trends, Masters odds. But first, kind of a big week for me, Bob, as we welcome the folks in St. Louis on KTRS, the Big 550. I've been doing a Sunday show there, and for the past couple years, a Thursday night show. And now our show is going to air in my hometown, KTRS, 8 p.m. And if you can't get it on various things, you can always go on the web and listen to us at KTRS.com. So I'm excited, and boy, we do have a lot to talk about this week.
And I'm excited also to be on KTRS, one of the great stations in the Midwest. And boy, you're right about what we got to talk about. Why don't we begin with Mexico? And first, throw a little curveball here to you, Jay, in that I want your overall opinion. First time down to Mexico. What were your thoughts on how the golf course played, the location of the tournament? Just some overall thoughts.
Bob, I was really surprised. I was pleasantly surprised. I know both you and I kind of missed the Doral event and keeping the Florida swing all together, but the way that they had the galleries, all those people around 17, the golf course, very interesting, and I think the players ended up liking it because all the different options, and boy, it provided some spectacular action on Sunday. A lot of guys making a lot of birdies. I thought it went really well. How about you?
Well, you know, I was really intrigued with an idea that Jack Nicklaus presented, and, you know, he won 18 majors, so anytime he talks golf, I want to listen. He had what I think is a great idea in that, you know, they played out in L.A., then they went down to the Honda Classic. Why not play L.A., go to Mexico City, and then do Honda, and then do Valspar, and then do the Arnold Palmer? So it would be a Florida swing, but it would be of 3 weeks duration rather than what it used to be, the four-week swing. I think that has a much better flow to it than making the players go from L.A. to Florida, Florida back to Mexico City. Your thoughts?
Leave it to the greatest player in the game to hit it right on the button. I mean, I think that's a great idea. I think you'd have the field with Riviera being the venue prior, and I think most of those guys would take that trip. We saw a number of guys, Bob, play in the Seminole pro member at Seminole Golf Club, and then they chartered a flight for everybody who was staying over Monday to go down to Mexico. So it was kind of wild. I think Jack nailed it. Go from L.A. To south of the border.
No, great idea. Let's see if that comes to fruition.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready.
All right, with the Mexican music in the background, let's go down to Mexico City and the WGC Mexico Championship. You know, one thing that dawned on me after watching it for a couple of days, Jay, is the fact that, you know, they said it's 7,300 yards, but at elevation, it really played like a 6,500-yard golf course.
No, and the scores kind of showed that. You know, you saw guys on 17 playing 165 yards hitting soft wedges. So, you know, and I think it took some guys a couple of days to get used to that change. As we talked about last week on the show, the highest elevation that the PGA Tour had played on.
Well, one guy didn't take long to adjust, and he's really on fire now. It doesn't look like he's slowing down. I'm talking about Dustin Johnson. And here's something I want to throw at you, Jay. Dustin Johnson, with that victory, that's his fourth WGC victory. Phil Mickelson, who's 46 years old, Dustin Johnson, only 32 years old, only has two World Golf Championship events. Of course, it's skewed a little bit because of the Tiger factor. Tiger with 18 World Golf Championship events, pretty remarkable. But still, for Dustin Johnson to notch number four, man, he is on fire.
Now, he is, you know, he's got a world of athletic talent. I mentioned the pro member at Seminole. He played with St. Louis Cardinal president Bill DeWitt III, and they were paired with Ricky Fowler and his partner, and Bill DeWitt III came back to St. Louis and was just telling people that you don't understand how good an athlete Dustin Johnson is and how much that plays into how he plays the game of golf. And he's not a ball beater. He's not a guy that stands on the range all day, and he just does it his own way, Bob. And when he does it well, I mean, he's the number one player in the world.
Yeah, and he wins after being the number one player in the world. Pretty difficult thing to do. Upcoming schedule for Dustin Johnson, not going to overwork himself. Taking off now until Adele match play. Then he's coming to Houston to play in the Shell Houston Open, which really gets him ready for the Masters.
Dustin Johnson, you're right, Bob. You know he's pointing towards the Masters. Now number one in those official world rankings, as I said, winning the first time after achieving that status. I mean, it's all good in the hood for Dustin Johnson, and obviously he was thrilled with the victory.
Obviously, this was a great week. I felt like even the first round was, I struggled a little bit on the greens, but, really hit the ball well, and I didn't feel like I was putting bad, but and then obviously I played really well the last three rounds. I just hit it really good. I feel like my game's in very good shape. Starting at the beginning of last year, it really has felt really solid. And it hasn't really let up any. I got a lot of confidence in the game. I feel like I'm controlling my ball very well, and I feel like my driver's starting to I'm starting to drive it a little straighter, which if I can drive it straight, I'm going to play well every week.
You alluded to his athletic ability, but, when you carefully analyze him, Jay, his mental approach is amazing. I mean, with what happened to him at Oakmont, and yet he still prevailed and won the Open. He went through that tragedy at Whistling Straits where a penalty was called on him, so he didn't win the PGA Championship. Down in Mexico, he hits a ball up in a tree. Nobody knows where it goes. He calls it a lost ball, and as soon as he hits his shot, the ball falls out of the tree, and yet he doesn't get ruffled. Pretty amazing when you have that kind of ability to play the game, Jay, and the ability to keep calm no matter what's transpiring around you.
No, he has a tremendous demeanor, and like you said, he's endured a lot of pain on the golf course, and that hardens you. And I think that he understands that good things are going to happen and some bad things are going to happen, and he takes the good with the bad. I also think, as we mentioned at the end of last year, Bob, I think you have to give, I don't necessarily say credit, but the influence that the greatest hockey player of all time, Wayne Gretzky, has had on this young man. He's had a lot to deal with the last couple of years, some good and some bad, and I think Gretzky's been a real benefit to him.
Let's listen to what DJ says about the altitude in Mexico City.
I had it figured out what a full shot was 15%. I mean, it worked every time on the range. It was pretty much spot on. I had my track man, so I was tracking the balls. And then, kind of half shots or three-quarter shots were, 10%. And it was consistent the whole week. And, I felt like I controlled the ball very well.
Well, his caddy, his brother Austin, did a great job with all those calculations. What's the highest course you ever played, Jay?
It is Edgewood Tahoe in Lake Tahoe, Nevada, the site of the annual celebrity deal that they have. You may be familiar with Harrah's that's out at Lake Tahoe.
I know it well.
Great golf course, and it's a fantastic property, 6,225 on the altitude.
Wow, it's a little bit higher than Castle Pines. I played just outside of Denver, and the first tee was way up on this hill, and you hit down into a valley, and at that altitude and downhill and with the wind, I think I hit my one and only 300-yard drive in my life. Of course, the last 80 yards were on the ground, but it still counts as a 300-yard drive. Hey, some others that did real well in that event. How about Tommy Fleetwood from England coming off a victory in Abu Dhabi, finishes second, and that hot shot that you and I like so much, Rambo, John Rahm, ties for third with Ross Fisher. Pretty remarkable stuff. A little disappointing round by Justin Thomas on Sunday, but boy, he's full of talent. Three-time winner on tour this year. And somebody that I'm going to be keeping an eye on when we get down to Augusta in a couple of weeks, this kid, Thomas Peters, 6'7", hits the ball a country mile. I don't know. I just got an outside funny feeling about Peters.
I've been telling people for a while not to sleep on Tommy Fleetwood. This kid's got big-time game. He proved it on Sunday. And you look at it, Bob, you just mentioned the youth in Thomas Peters, Justin Thomas, Ross Fisher, who made 9 birdies on Sunday, and you mentioned him, Rambo. I mean, youth is being served. But the other thing I thought was interesting was the fact that Rory came back maybe a week or two before he was suspected to come back, and he was pretty solid, tying for 7th. I think that's pretty big.
Yeah, Rory McIlroy said coming into the week, top 10 finish, he would be delighted, and he accomplished that. And of course, they'll be talking for eons about the play of Phil Mickelson. I mean, good golly, all over the place in more bushes than a gardener, and yet still managed to play halfway decent. If he can ever get that driver under control, who knows what Phil Mickelson could do.
Well, and the other unique thing, and you saw it on display on Sunday, and it was no surprise, Bob, the short game of Mickelson, but there were 77 players that played in the WGC Mexico tournament. There were 77 chip-ins. So darn near everybody chipped in at some point down there. I don't know whether it was the way things were aligned or whether you got perfect lies, but 77 players played and there were 77 chip-ins, and Phil had a couple as always.
And if somebody's looking for some insight into the Masters, Jordan Spieth had the most chip-ins. He chipped in 4 times.
Yeah, but he never really threatened, and that was a little disappointment for Jordan. By the way, Bob, as you know, the Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Let's jump to the LPGA Tour for a minute, Jay. MB Park back in form, closing with a brilliant round of 64, a one-shot win there in Singapore in the HSBC Women's Champions. Boy, she is quite a player.
No, got huge game, and one of those players that has the ability, Bob, to go low, and you saw that with the 64. I also think what I take away from the Singapore HSBC Women's Championship is it was nice to see our friend Michelle Wee finding good form and putting well. So, and she had the lead at one point. She ended up finishing tied for 4th. So good for her.
Yeah, David Ledbetter said that he feels very strongly. He's the longtime coach, a good friend of the Grill Room show, and he feels that, boy, she's on the right track now. She gets that putter going. It's going to be amazing. All right. This week on the PGA Tour, it's the Valspar Championship. Played at Innisbrook Resort's famed Copperhead course in Palm Harbor, Florida. One of the best golf courses in Florida. A famous snake pit down there, 16, 17, and 18. Much like the bear trap at Honda, Charles Schwartzel is our defending champion. Pretty good field down there, Jay.
All real good field. As you said, they love this golf course. They like good golf courses, and this is Justin Thomas, who we talked about a couple of minutes ago, long-hitting Bubba Watson, who loves playing down in Florida, Ryan Moore, Billy Haas, Henrik Stenson, Graham McDowell, some veterans, Steve Stricker, Jim Furyk, and Ernie Els also there. And don't sleep on Cooch, guy who lives in Florida. He likes playing here at the Valspar as well.
Yeah, it's a ball strikers golf course. Really suits him well. A couple of new names will be down there, too. Bo Hostler, U.S. amateur, former U.S. amateur champion, trying to gain playing privileges somewhere. And one name from the past, Hunter Mahan, trying to get his game back after surgery. Right now, it's time to go to the newsroom. The King, going to be honored when the event goes to Bay Hill in a couple of weeks. Certainly well-deserved, Jay.
Absolutely. It's Arnold's playground. It's a wonderful spot. And, you know, the original statue was at Wake Forest, of course, where he's got a scholarship in his name. But this one's going to stay at Bay Hill. And you and I have both been there and seen the King in action at Bay Hill. And it's going to be a tough year this year at Bay Hill that final Sunday without the King there to shake the winner's hand.
Yeah, it just seems impossible that he's not going to be there. And, of course, we lost Simon Hobday recently, too. You know, some of the bigger names out of the past seem to be leaving us at an alarming rate. And pretty soon we're going to be in that category, Jay. So we're going to enjoy things while we can. And in order to enjoy things, I guess we better stay away from that flu bug.
Yeah, down, or maybe Montezuma's Revenge, depending on your trip to Mexico. But it swept through the field of players, especially early in the week, and caddies. One of those affected was Phil's caddy, longtime caddy, Jimmy Bones Mackay. So guess who filled in for him? Phil's brother, Tim, who is also John Rahm's agent and who Phil was paired with in the final round. And we've talked about the uniqueness of the fact that Phil's college coach, Steve Lloyd, became his agent. And now Tim Mickelson, who was John Rahm's coach at ASU, is his agent. I think they figured something out.
Well, if I was John Rahm, I'd look at the success that Phil achieved and I'd say, hey, wait a minute. That seems like a pretty good formula to me. I'm not going to mess around with it. What about Phil's logos? They're changing. Gorn Barclays, new this season, his own brand logo of him jumping after that Masters win. Of course, he didn't jump that high. For Phil to get 18 inches off the ground, that was a mighty effort. But as he parts ways with Barclays, he signs with Intrepid. And the CEO of Intrepid Merchant Bank, centered in Houston and New York City, guess what? He was a former top executive with Barclays, and that's how the game is played.
Bob, I love it. I mean, you're right. I don't know that he's got a real great vertical that would translate onto the basketball court, but I like the fact that it's Phil's logo. He's earned it. He's a top 10 player in the world, in my mind, of all time. I firmly believe that. I don't think there's any question about it. And if by some chance he could find a way to get that fourth leg of the U.S. Open, I mean, he'd be in a start talking about Gary Player and a whole lot of things. So good for Phil. I'm glad he's got his own Jumpman logo, a little different than the Jumpman that Michael Jordan has.
You know, it amazes me, though, Jay, every time I think about the absence of that U.S. Open trophy on Phil's mantle. It's one thing not to win the U.S. Open. And when you combine it with winning the three other majors and you need one more to complete the Grand Slam, he hasn't been able to do it, but he's finished a record six times in second place at a U.S. Open. To me, that's harder. If somebody were to ask me which is easier, to win a U.S. Open or finish second six times, I wouldn't hesitate. I'd say six times second is much harder than winning once.
I don't think there's any question about that. It is unbelievable. Six runner-ups, and, hey, he's still got a chance to get that coveted U.S. Open. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, Audio Boom, KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and, of course, Talk Sport 2. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk rules and the proposed changes. Remember, we want to hear from you. Email us at menu@thegrillroom.com or find us on Twitter at STL Golf Geek and Bob Bubka, VOG.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
As we promised, a rules of golf discussion. So let's get started and hear Bob's conversation with a high-ranking USGA official.
John Bodenhammer, he's the Senior Managing Director of Championships. Plus, here's the important thing. He oversees all the rules of golf. And I firmly believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, John, I think the most exciting thing to happen in golf outside of a golf course is happening right now with this initiative to simplify the rules of golf.
Wow, that's a great statement, Bob. We appreciate that, and I think we're very pleased with where we are. We're really excited to be able to talk to this, and we're most excited about hearing the feedback that golfers we hope will share with us, like you've just done. So very exciting.
John, if you could highlight, let's say, two or three of the, most interesting aspects of the new rules of golf. Which ones would you highlight?
I've had that question a few times, Bob. I guess certainly everybody's going to pick one or two or three that really they want to talk about or concentrate on. I would say this. To me, it's not any one. It's the body of the entire work. And I'll come back to a few things here, but I would say to me, in kind of thinking about that question, I think there are many rules that have changed as you've seen the scope of this initiative. And with many of them, the elimination of penalties is really something that to me I think is perhaps the most significant aspect of this change. And I think there's good reason for the elimination of those penalties. And we talk long and hard about it. And I'll give you a few examples. Searching for your ball. Player searches for their ball. Right now we have this odd situation where if a player doesn't want to really look for their ball because if they move it, there's a penalty. And so you could have dozens and dozens of people searching for a player's ball because if they move it, there's not a penalty and the player is standing on the sidelines. We want the player to find their ball. We want the player to look for their ball. And so, and really, what is the advantage if they move it? Just put it back and play on, no penalty. And we think that's a good thing. Hitting, deflecting a ball in motion, being deflected. If you hit a tree, you make your stroke, you hit the tree, it comes back and hits you, and it's deflected somewhere. Just play it as it lies, no penalty. Previously, there's a penalty for that happening, but there was no penalty if you made your stroke and hit that tree and it hit your fellow competitor. No penalty. So what's the difference? It's a accident. It's a random act. Just play it as it lies. No penalty. So there's much of that throughout the rules that these proposed new rules that we're putting out to golfers to review and think about and let us know what they feel about them. But I think overall, to me, it's about the elimination of penalties on so many fronts. That's really quite new.
Yeah, John, that's certainly exciting news because the less penalties, the more people are going to be inclined to play the game.
And they're going to be inclined, Bob, to play the game quicker. And that's one of our huge issues. I love the way he said the elimination of penalties. I like the fact that, at least on the tour, they're changing the rule. Well, they're changing the rule overall, but it certainly works on the tour. I don't understand why you needed 5 minutes to find a golf ball on the PGA Tour. They've brought that back to three. And eliminating some of the penalties is a very, very wise move. And I really like the way he said it.
Let me run a couple of the proposed changes that caught my eye. And I think, number one, the pin being left unattended and somebody putts and it happens to hit it, no longer a penalty. I think that serves two purposes. Well, the basic purpose it obviously serves, it's certainly going to speed up pace of play.
Yes, that's what we believe too. That was one of the main reasons that we felt this was a good change. And frankly, when we went through this process over the last almost 5 years, we looked at the history of every rule, not just the present state, where the rule had come from, how it had evolved, and what it was today. And when you do that, you soon recognize that a lot of the rules that we think have been around forever really haven't been. And some of the new ideas that we thought we had created, maybe they existed at one point or another. I'll give you a few examples. The flagstick rule that you're just referring to in the early 1960s, we have video with the U.S. Open being played with the flagstick left on the hole when players are putting on the putting green. That used to exist, and so we felt in looking at the evolution of this and looking at the pros and cons that most definitely pace of play will be improved. You imagine the situation if you're on the front of the putting green with a 40-footer and you're playing with your buddy and he's just hit his bunker shot out of the bunker onto the green and he's got to rake that bunker. Well, either you've got to walk up and take that flag stick out now, or he's got to do that, and you got to wait for him to rake the bunker before he does it. And so by just being able to hit it and not worry about a penalty for a flag stick in the hole, we think is a really good pace of play, support for pace of play, among other things within our proposed changes.
And another way, as you said, Bob, right off the bat, to speed up play. You know, access used to be the biggest problem in our game. When you and I grew up, you almost had to be a member of a country club or know somebody. That's all changed with public golf. But the big problem we have is pace of play, and this is a way to remedy it. And I commend the USGA for doing it and all the stuff that they're doing.
John Bodenhammer, I was remiss at the beginning. John, a very illustrious, stellar amateur career, actually played for an NCAA championship while at Brigham Young University. That had to be a thrill. John, clarify one thing for me. I just read it over briefly. The ball drop method is changed, and what I read was it can be dropped from any height. Now, does that mean I can be 1 inch off the ground and drop the ball?
Yes, it does. What we really wanted to achieve with this are several things, and it achieves a number of things. The ball must fall through the air. It must be dropped, and it can be dropped, and the rules will recommend at least 1 inch above the ground. And the reason for that is to drop it, it allows us to maintain randomness with dropping. We experimented with placing and iterations of it, and we just felt that to maintain that randomness was important, and so dropping it through the air for some point is important. But you can do it an inch above the ground. You can do it at waist height. You can do it at shoulder height. This does a number of things. It allows for a player to, when they're taking relief off of a cart path, to identify what is now the relief area of 20 inches and get it in that area. If you're dropping it very close to the ground, you can just get it in that area quite easily in almost every instance. It'd be rare that you won't be able to. That will happen, but we think it'll be very rare. So now you're going from an area off of that cart path that is very near that cart path. You're taking relief from it, but it's still very near that area. Where today we've got this very complicated nine-exception procedure in Rule 20 that all kinds of things can happen when you have to drop a ball, that can roll up to two club lengths, but not more so. You've got to drop it once, drop it again, and then you can place it. Right now, and you have to do it from shoulder height, and you'd be surprised at how hard it is for some players to find their shoulder. You can have a penalty for not dropping properly just because it's not shoulder height. Now, we don't really care how you drop it. It just has to fall through the air. You can kind of toss it into that 20-inch area. It has to stay there. And you have to make a reasonable effort to get it there. You can't continue to drop it on the edge of that area so that it rolls out and you get to place it. You have to try other areas before you can do that. And we think this is going to eliminate a lot of complexity in this procedure. It will help the pace of play, and it will keep the player closer to where they're taking relief from.
This one is a little confusing to me. But I understand the premise behind it, and we've all had instances where we're on a side hill and we take a drop and we know it's going to go more than two club lengths. You know, when you think about it, and I appreciate Mr. Bodenheimer saying that we have looked at the possibility of placing it, because if you really think about it, 1 inch from the turf is darn near placing it. It's almost a way of saying, okay, it's all right to place it, but you can't place it. So I think you're going to see the majority of people and the majority of guys on the PGA Tour bending down to get to that 1 inch point. And it's a fascinating discussion, and we're going to continue to have more of this conversation in the upcoming shows.
Well, the one good thing that I learned in talking to John, Jay, was, they're going to be looking at these proposed changes for the next 6 months, and they encourage people to take part in it. If you got a great idea, you can even call the USGA and express your opinion. So these are not finalized. These are proposals, and I think by the end of 6 months, they'll have it all smoothed out. Right now, let's take a little break, and when we return, I got some interesting stats for our listeners, Jay.
You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, Audio Boom, Spreaker, the Big 550, KTRS in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and of course, Talk Sport 2.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at healthysightforlife.org.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Well, Welcome back to the Grill Room. Jay Randolph Jr. along with my man, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka. Excited to be on the Big 550 KTRS in St. Louis. And Bob, St. Louis is going to get a Top Golf in the next year or two. And Top Golf, for people that don't know, is a driving range, a high-class driving range, learning center. I've been to them. It's unique because you've got these targets out there and you can do scoring and they bring food and fun and games. It's like Dave and Buster's meets golf. It's really a cool deal. Music playing, partying all the time. A lot of people are having bachelor parties there. But the big push in golf right now, as you know, is getting kids into the game.
Hey, listen to some of these stats, though, from Top Golf. Really interesting. In 2016, 59,513 lessons were taught at Top Golf University. 90% were new to golf, and here's the one that blows me away. 65 to 70% were women, and 52% of the visitors are between 18 and 34. 32% are female. And perhaps the most relevant stat of all, 24% of Top Golf visitors said they started playing golf after their Top Golf experience. So in a way, Top Golf coming to the St. Louis area really could be a bonanza for Normandy Golf Club.
Bob, it's fun. It's fun. It's not a stuffy environment. It's not a lot of rules. You're just sitting there on the range with your buddies or your girlfriend hitting balls. And like I said, they've got the scoring system if you want. You can play all kind of cash games. It's really a unique thing. And that's why I think it's amazing. As you said, 24% of their visitors had their first experience at Top Golf, whereas most of us usually were introduced at a course by our mom or dad or a grandfather or whatever it may be. I also love those stats because it's attractive to the younger demo. I wish I could get 52% of my visitors to be between 18 and 34, and even more, 32% are female. We've got a regular ladies game, Bob, but you know, the youngest gal is probably 55 that plays in it. And I, you know, we got to get the young people involved, and I salute Top Golf for what they're doing, and I can't wait till it comes to St. Louis.
Anything that's good for golf, you know, the Grill Room is 100% behind it. All right, one other thing that came out, Jay, 63% of golf facilities believe slow play is a problem, yet only 12% believe it's a problem at their facility. What's the word at Normandy?
Well, that's the problem, Bob, is that only 12% believe it's a problem. I know it's a problem. On a Saturday, when you try and put 150 golfers on a golf course, one group can throw it for a loop. Slow play is a real issue because people don't devote the time anymore, and we've gone from a four-hour round, or for a lot of us, a three-and-a-half-hour round, to pretty much a five-hour round. Slow play is probably the biggest obstacle we have in getting new golfers into the game and keeping them.
I certainly would agree with that, Jay, and you know, with the rules becoming easier, hopefully that's going to make people play faster. And you know, 3.5 hours, you can do that on a Saturday morning and get back and still spend time with the family. Once you get into 5 hours and then you throw in a little lunch, it just becomes too long. And I agree 100% with you, Jay Randolph Jr., that slow play is probably the single biggest problem affecting the game of golf right now.
Well, now that you're up to date with what's going on around the world of golf, that's it for this week. The Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as well as the veterans, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, Audio Boom, KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and of course, Talk Sport 2.
So for Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bubka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf, and you can like us on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.